turn to 2 Samuel tonight. The first announcement now, what were the two announcements? I forgot one of them. I'm telling you what, I stand up here. The first announcement is we need to be aware that these doors are locked. And I'm going to repeat, I'm going to do a Brother Jerry Dotson on y'all. I'm going to. Now, for Shasta's sake, or whoever's teaching Sunday school, I have another key because I put a lock on one of the closets. Samuel chapter, y'all know what it is? Chapter 6. And that's okay. If we don't get but one or two verses, we'll do it next time. We just continue on till the Lord comes back. How about that? I'm not going to rush through this. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is where we left off, and I think it was Uzzah had just touched the cart. Verse 7, he died by the ark of God. Anyway, for a quick little reminder and review, David is sitting, is at peace now in Israel. He's king over all Israel. He's at peace. There's no war going on. Of course, this doesn't last long, but he thinks about that ark. That ark has been out of service for over 50 years. So he wants to go get that ark. And he does. He gets up all the valor, men of valor, the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds and the governors and the mayors and all the prompt people. And here they go. There's over 30,000 of them. They go get this ark out of Uzzah's. What's his daddy's name? Abinadab? Yes, it's at Abinadab's house in Gibeah. So here they go down there, and they're going to get this ark. Now, Abinadab is probably dead at this time, and his eldest son, which was in charge of that, he's probably dead too, because the scripture says Uzzah is his name. Him and Ahio, that's the other two boys of Abinadab, they were in charge of this cart. So here they get it out, and they want to give it to the public. They want it to be back in to worship. But they just take it on their own to reach out there, Uzzah does, to grab it when it starts to stumble. And God strikes him dead right there on the scene when he touched that cart. So anyway, that brings us up to verse 7. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside unto the house of Obadiah the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obadiah the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obadiah and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obadiah and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obadiah unto the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Okay, let's go back in verse 7, where he died, that there was an error there on this man's part, even though he was a Levite. He was in charge of that ark, but just because he was a Levite didn't make it right for him to reach out there and touch that thing. And he knew, just like in the rest of them, it was supposed to have been carried on their shoulders. Well, he touched it, God killed him, struck him dead right there. And there he died on the spot, quickly, by God. It's dangerous that, contrary to the commandments of God. You know that? Especially when you know what his commandments are. Now, those Philistines, and we talked about that last week, they did all kind of crazy things with it, and they paid the price for it, but they were even smart enough to realize, something ain't right here. We need to get rid of this thing.
But you know, I thought God was this great God of love all the time.
Well, now that's what the world will make us believe, but you go try to tell that to those 80,000 that he struck dead. Go tell that to... Yes, absolutely. Go tell that to when you remember when the prophet Elisha went through that town and all those kids started picking at him and mocking him and calling him no bald head, and he caught a she-bear, came down and devoured every one of them. And that would be hard for this modern world to accept.
Well, how about the two that were, who said they gave everything to the Lord in that one situation?
Just a little. You know, we need to have the fear of God in us, and that's the beginning of knowledge. That's what the wisest man in the world said, old Solomon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And there that man died. Sin will not be excused, even with good intentions. It won't. There's going to be a host of people stand before the Lord one day at judgment, and they're going to say, "Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out devil? We did all kind of wonderful things in your name." They did it in the name of Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, that's the saddest words they'll ever, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's not, sin is nothing light to God. It was an example. I read one commentator say it was just as serious to breach that as it was when our first parents, Adam and Eve. What did God? God told them people when they carried that ark, if you touch it, you're going to die. What did he tell Adam and Eve? He said, if you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. And guess what? The moment they partook of that fruit, I think the moment they touched that fruit, they spiritually died right then and there. I mean, on the spot. And an example of that is Uzzah. God struck him dead. It's a serious thing. Now, in verse 8, David didn't like this at all. He was displeased. You think we ought to be displeased when God goes against our whatever we think should be done right or wrong? No. He's got a wrong attitude here. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day to remind them that God was displeased with what went on with that moving of that ark. And he set that up there and said, now the name of this city, every time you see it, you understand, you know, that we can't go against God and his commandments. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. The fear of God come upon him, didn't it? And he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? His attitude that he had of the Lord dealing with Uzzah, you know, he should have submitted himself to God and not complained. And that's what we need to do. God does things. We need to realize he's God and we're just clay. He's the potter. And we should, instead of being complaining about what's happening to us, we should be thankful that he ain't took our lives like he did Uzzah's. I mean, he could strike us. He could have struck the rest of them just as quick as he did Uzzah.
And it's hard when life gets tough to not get upset, not to get displeased with God. But
right.
You've got to remember, he holds us in the palm of his hand, and he can take our breath from us this minute.
Absolutely right. And who are we to question God?
Right.
Yeah.
The place in our question.
Who are we? David was afraid. Now he don't know what to do with this ark. He was he had all these people. He had a big convention going on and a parade lined up, and he was ready to bring this ark. And now that party has got a dampener put on it. I'm reminded of that old king. Who was that? That was having that, he took out all that gold and silverware and was drinking out of the cups and that handwriting come. No, the handwriting, that was his son, wasn't it?
That was his son, yeah.
The handwriting come up on that. Yeah, I can't think of it. But anyway, y'all know who I'm talking about? Boy, did that party end quick.
He fell over the wall.
Struck him, no. He struck him dead right there on the spot that night. Yeah, his knees smoked together when that old prophet come in there and told him what that meant. He said, your days are numbered and you're fixing to lose your kingdom right here tonight. Don't you know that party come to an end quick? He told that band to get out of there. Cut out the music. Bring in the priest, man. I need to have some prayer right quick. It was too late for him. Anyway, David, he doesn't know what to do with this ark now. The party's over. He sends everybody back home. He said, I'm not getting around this ark. He may strike us next. We know for a fact that God is displeased with what we're doing here with his ark. It represents him. And we are not doing this right. So the party's over. So what did he do? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obadiah, the Gittite. Now this is another Levite. He happened to live right there close to where this scene just took place. And Obadiah, everything I could read about him, he was a faithful and he had an honest heart. He was bold, but yet he was humble. He said, yeah, I'll take the... He welcomed that ark into... We should welcome God into our lives, into our home. We should worship him with reverence and humble ourselves like this man Obadiah did. He was a proper man to take this ark in his house. First Chronicles 13:10. You don't have to go there, but it said the Levites. It kind of shows who this man was. It said the Levites appointed Heman and Asaph and Ethan, and they named a bunch of more of these Levites to do service for God's in the tabernacle. That service, the Levites were assigned to that, and Obed-Edom's name is mentioned in that group of names.
Belshazzar.
But anyway, Obed-Edom in 1 Chronicles 13:10-14, you can read of him there. He was also in 1 Chronicles 15:18. Obed-Edom was appointed to be a singer with instruments. So this man's got the credentials to take this ark in, and here's the difference. He gladly received this ark. You know, when the gospel's preached, some people refuse it, reject it, hate it, but those that are called, they receive it. They with joy and with gladness. Obed-Edom said, "Yeah, I want it." And this man knew about the 80,000 that were slaughtered. He knew the story behind the Philistines wanting to get rid of that thing. It's a curse, it's a bad omen. I mean, the news is in all the newspapers, right, when that happened. This ain't no secret. I mean,
he was there when
if 80,000 people were slaughtered, you don't think the news got out? Oh, Dion knew all about it. He was there, I guarantee. It was right there close to his house. He didn't have to travel. He was there when Uzzah was struck dead. He was there when King David had all the authority to get that ark. And he watched David change his attitude. Well, now,
he and Uzzah would have been related because they were both of the tribe of Levi.
Right.
Well, I mean, all of the Israelites were, all the Jews.
Yeah, but he was a Levite.
He was tighter related.
He was in a close inner circle there, so to speak. So this guy, he could have very easily said, "Oh no, you ain't bringing that to my house, and me and my wife and kids, and I don't want it." No, what he gladly received this ark, and he wanted it in his house. And guess what? When you have an open heart like that, and the Lord is a guest in your house and not a burden, and you want to serve the Lord, you want to do what's right, guess what happened to him? Verse 11, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite." Well, that proves right there he's a Levite because he's from that city. 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. He's blessed. Things are starting to look good for him. He might have been an old poor dirt farmer. Didn't have nothing to brag about, so to speak. But now he's doing well. The Lord is blessing him. His bills are starting to be paid. His crops are starting to be tenfold over. I don't know, his kids may have gotten married or something, but the Lord is blessing this household, is what I'm trying to say. He's not putting a curse on him. It's just the opposite. I mean, the flowers are blooming in the lady's front yard, so to speak. He's really being blessed, and the neighbors are taking note of this. This ain't nothing done in secret. I mean, when you see the Lord blessing someone, don't you want to be part of that? Don't you want your blessings to be like that when the Lord is really working on a person or a family? It should. Obed-Edom, he was being blessed mightily. The neighbors knew about it. Word got out. As a matter of fact, it got back to David. He was being blessed so good, it was kind of like he hit the lottery or something, you know? Everybody, man, what's happened to this guy? Well, he's got that ark down there at his house, and the Lord's just blessing him. I mean, it's like his house on the hill is glowing and everybody else's is dark gray. That kind of thing. When David gets word of it, his servants and his people underneath David get word back to David. So now, David, verse 12, and it was told David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. There it is. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. David, he's now encouraged, isn't he? He looks over and gets this news. It says, you know, the same God that was displeased with us the short time, 3 months ago, that struck Uzzah dead for touching that ark, them not handling it right. They probably didn't even have it covered up. He said, God, he was displeased with. But now, God is, seems like he's appeased, and he's, he's content with the ark, and it's not a curse no more to us. And David,
when he was in his house, I bet he obeyed everything.
Absolutely. And David, he's sitting on his throne trying to figure out what he knew. David knew what they did wrong. David knew the law. He knew that he wasn't, that was supposed to be carried on stage. As a matter of fact, he puts the order out before they go down there this time. And it's insinuated in the scriptures that, yeah, we're going to go get it, but this time we're going to do it. I've done had these priests remind me, not only are the Levites are going to carry it, but we're not going to touch it. We're going to put it on them staves where how Moses told us how to do it.
Well, and don't you think that God worked on David's heart during that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It now there's evidence that God was reconciled. God's anger has been turned away and his favor is upon them. David's ready now to gather up that bunch and go back over. You know what? 1 Peter 2:6. I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. Christ is indeed a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those that are disobedient. But to those who believe, he is a cornerstone, elect and precious. So there you have it. That's first old Peter, he just about summed that up, didn't he? It's a rock of offense to those that don't obey God's word. Okay, so now David's ready to go get it. Verse 12. He's going with gladness. So he gets these 30,000 back up. He said, okay, we're going to try this again, but we're going to do it God's way this time. We're not going to just go down there and do it any old way. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Now, I read another guy said that he seemed to think when Uzzah and Ahio brought that cart out from that, got on that road, they didn't go but like 6 spaces. Now, there's nothing scriptural about that. That's just what reading from Josephus and all those other old writings in history, they seem to think he didn't go but like 6 paces. Well, to make sure, I can see old David now. He said, well, we get 6 paces, we're going to stop. We're going to stop and we're going to sacrifice and we're going to give thanksgiving and we're going to do, you know, worship our God for not striking us, that we do it, make sure we're going to do this right. And that, it seemed fair to me to believe that. So they'd gone 6 paces. They started sacrificing some oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, this wasn't a set dance, okay? Or it wasn't along with the other ones. This was David expressing himself of the joy he had that God was now appeased to allow that ark to be brought to the city of David. David is just beside himself. He is rejoicing. He's dancing. He's jumping up and down. In other words, his outward, what he was doing outwardly was expressing what his joy of his heart was toward God inwardly. Is all it, well, it wasn't a set dance that they were supposed to do this, and that, you know, we want this group to jump before the Lord. And no, it was nothing staged. He's doing this with joy. You see a man stand up during a service and raise his hand. I'm not saying anything. That man has joy in his heart. And if he's doing it for an outwardly appearance, that's between him and God. But I think a lot of times people that do that are doing it to show. They're just overcome. I say amen a lot out loud because of the joy, you know, of hearing that word amen, brother. You know, I don't jump up and do that, but
I think we Baptists have let
we have
restrain us.
A blessing's been stolen.
A
blessing has been stolen from us. He praised the Lord, David did, with all his might. That's all he was doing. And he was dancing. Yes, he was dancing. He was singing out loud. He was playing instruments. You know, David was a good musician. Yeah, I mean, when the king Saul gets you to come play for him on a guitar, Charlie said, but I think it was a harp, but I don't know what it was. It could have been banjo. But you're not going to get some rookie that don't know what they're doing to go play for the king. Every now and then, our president, they invite one of these groups to go, you know, entertain them. They good. Whoever they are, the cream of the crop. So David wasn't no slouch. David, he was playing these instruments. He would see one and probably take it out of that Levite's hand. Say, give me here. I've got to play this. Whatever. He's happy. He put off his king's royal robes, if you notice that. He was girded with a linen ephod. Now, other people besides priests wore this. Here's an example right here. David wasn't no priest by no means. David was a warrior. David was a king. David was a leader, but he wasn't a priest. But here he's got a linen ephod on. Samuel, the prophet, he wore a linen ephod. How you say that? But anyway, David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, he took off his majesty, so to speak. He took off his royal robes so he could humble himself and worship God before that ark. Go out before that ark and worship the way he was feeling. He didn't walk down that thing with pomp like the Pope. When he comes to town, that is so proud and arrogant, sitting in that Pope mobile or whatever you call it. He got that hat on, that 2 foot tall, and these golden white robes and chains all over him, big scepter in his hand. David was just the opposite. He took all that off. And put on a linen ephod so he could be loose and get out there with the people and run before the ark and just leading the way before God, worshiping him. And that's why he had that on. He danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was, verse 15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. These captains over thousands, these elders of Egypt, even the common people, there's over 30,000 of them, the scripture said, but there's a whole lot more than that. These are the ones that were kind of, so to speak, invited to let's go get the ark. You got thousands and thousands of common people and farmers and peasants and neighbors and friends and women and children. They probably all waiting in the city of Jerusalem anticipating this thing to come in to the city. So you're talking about a lot of people here, and they're all happy. The government's happy. The government has put their blessings on it. God has his blessings on it. So this is a happy time. They are shouting with the sound of the trumpet. In verse 16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, now we got a problem. Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. We'll quit there tonight. But if you notice, I want you to look at that. When he came into that city, Michael, and it didn't say David's wife, did it? What did it say there? Saul's daughter. Now that ought to give you a little insight into what's coming next week. Saul despised David. David didn't do nothing but good. David didn't do nothing but worship the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord. He did everything he could to please the Lord. And Saul hated him. He tried to kill him. He tried to throw a javelin at him 2 times and drove it into a wall. He wasn't just playing around with it. He was serious about killing him. Because of man. What did they do to Jesus Christ when he did nothing but good? He raised the dead, healed the sick, all kind of blessings he gave. He fed the thousands, but yet they said, crucify him, do away with him. And look at here. His own wife despising what's going on. Hated it. Come back next week and we'll figure out what happened. Same time, same channel next week. Brother Neil, dismiss us, please.
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your Son's death on the cross, the salvation that brings through your election and calling. Lord, we ask that you give us the joy in our heart to entertain you in our homes.
Amen.
And in our hearts.
That's right.
In our lives. And give us the joy that David exhibited here, that when we are amongst those who believe, amongst the things of the Lord, let us have joy that we are able to gather and enjoy the things around you. Lord, we ask that you bless this country. Lord, that you straighten these wrongdoings out. Lord, let us be a witness amongst those that we work with, those that we associate with on a daily basis, Lord. Don't necessarily have to say something, just the way that you live and the way that you act can be a bigger witness than any words you say. And give us the ability to maintain our testimony in front of others. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every one of us as we travel home. Bring us back next time and be with our families. We ask all these things in your Son's precious and holy name.
Amen. Okay. I can't think of the other announcements, so it must not have been important. Oh, yeah. I had it right here in the Bible.